With our theme, Faith Sowing, Generation to Generation, I'd like to direct your attention to the 92nd Psalm. The 92nd Psalm, and I want to read from verses 12 through 15. The 92nd Psalm, verses 12 through 15. The Bible says, "The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bring forth fruit in the old age. They shall be fat and flourishing, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him." I want to take the title of the lesson from verse number 14. The Bible said, "They shall," when I was reading over this, I errantly read over it, and I just read, "They still," or "they bring forth fruit in an old age." But the text says, "They shall still bring forth fruit in old age. They shall be fat." Now, that word fat doesn't mean fat. It means fresh. It actually means relevant in their old age. So they shall still bring forth fruit in an old age. And I want to use as a topic for the lesson tonight, ageless fruit. Ageless fruit. You know, I had a milestone in my life just a couple of weeks ago. I had a birthday, and it was the big one. I'm now 70. It's hard to believe. I look back and I think back to the time that I first came to Hamilton Park, and I was in my 20s. A young man in a 1972 Oldsmobile that smoked as it came up on the parking lot. I would always hold my breath, hoping that it wouldn't pop and explode, at least until I got off the parking lot. That and so many other memories came to mind over the last couple of weeks. And it seems like time has gone so quickly. And when you began to reach milestone ages, you began to think about the future. You began to think about yourself. You began to think about my continued purpose in the Lord's church. And I believe this text says something very profound to all of us. And it lets us know that we have a continued usefulness in the body of Christ. You know, for a lot of people, the goal of many people is a happy life of retirement. They spend their years saving and planning for the time in which they can retire. They look forward to be free, to travel, and to do other things. But is the concept of retirement applicable to the kingdom of God? We might rightly retire from secular jobs, or we might retire from other things that we're doing, but what about our service in the church? And it's granted that physical infirmities sometimes will limit us and might be a hindrance. We won't always be able to do all the things that we've been able to do. But in spite of that, is that a valid reason for saying that I no longer will be actively involved in the work of the church? In Psalm, the 92nd chapter here, we find a description of the righteous man, in which they're described as palm trees and cedar trees, flourishing, not just existing, but flourishing in the house and the courts of God. And again, the text says, they shall still bear fruit in their old age. I may not be able to always do the things that I was able to do in the past, and as time goes on, I'm going to slow down. But I believe there's always going to be room, as long as there is breath in my body, to do something for the cause of Christ. And you know, I find it interesting that as we look in God's history, God utilized older people to do significant things in the kingdom. And I also find it interesting that God took time in the scriptures to note the ages of the individuals that he utilized to do significant things in the kingdom. When you think about Moses and Aaron, it would seem that for the task of dealing with a hard-hearted Pharaoh, for the task of dealing with over 600,000 individuals and leading them out of Egypt and leading them through the Red Sea and leading them through the wilderness, it would seem that God would have chosen a couple of young men to do that. But God used Moses and Aaron. When we look at Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 7, again, the text takes time to explain the fact of the ages of these two men. In Exodus chapter 7 and verse number 7, the Bible says, and Moses, this, again, he's given the information shortly after God had told Moses to go and speak to Pharaoh. The Bible says in verse number 7, and Moses was 80 years old. He was 80 years old. And Aaron was 83 years old when they spake unto Pharaoh. God used some older men. I know they were older because the psalmist would come on in Psalm chapter 90 and verse number 10 and say, the days of our years are 70. 70 years, that's a normal. And by reason of strength, 80. These men, based on that particular parameter, they were beyond their years. But yet God used them in the midst of one of the most important acts we find in Scripture, the liberation of God's people. We find it also in Joshua and Caleb. Joshua was given the charge to lead the conquest of Canaan. And he did this during the last 30 years of his life. And Joshua lived to be 110 years old. Joshua was an older man as he was involved in this. We find it also in Caleb. Caleb was one who was very much involved in the conquest, and he was in his 80s. But yet, this Caleb was once in the midst of, as he was in the midst of this conquest, it would seem that for the task of overtaking Canaan and dealing with the giants and dealing with the armies that were conspired together against God's people, it would seem that God would have chosen some younger men. But he chose these two men that were up in age. And I love that. I love how Joshua described the events and Joshua described his life during this time. If you look to Joshua chapter 14 and look at verse number 7. Look what he said. He said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word. Again, it was in mine heart. And nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swear on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And look at what he says. He says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. It wasn't because of my goodness. God did it. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake the word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. Well, I started off at 40 years old, but now I'm 85 years old. But look at his language. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spoke in this day. For thou heardest that in the day that the Amalekites were here, that the cities were great and fenced, if it be so, the Lord will be with me. Then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Even though he was advanced in years, he said his strength was still with him. Oh, when I think about that, I think about the scripture over in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 28. Where it says, they that wait upon the Lord. Bible said they shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's something about staying with the Lord that's going to give us strength. And I just believe that that's what the psalmist is talking about. If I continue to commit my way to the Lord, I don't ever want to retire from God. Now, I know there comes a time that we may need to make some changes in the way that we approach things, but I'm always wanting to give God everything that I can. Not only could we look at Moses and Aaron, we could also and look at Joshua and Caleb. Daniel served God from his youth. Daniel was, many times we look at Daniel and think about him as a young man when he was thrown in the lion's den. I think about him as a young man when he was put as one of the governors over the kingdom of Babylon, but Daniel was over 80 years old. It would seem that Daniel went facing old age, and here he was, had just been appointed one of the governors over the principalities of Babylon. It would have been easy for Daniel to say, wait a minute, I'm old now. I can't start my career over. It would have been easy for him to acquiesce and bow down to the image that Nebuchadnezzar put in place. It would have been easy for him to say, I don't need no trouble about right now. I'm about to wrap this thing up. But nevertheless, Daniel stood strong. Daniel stood firm. And I just believe that there's a lesson in there for all of us. No matter what age you become, God can use you. And as we talk about sowing generation to generation, One of the best ways that we can sow, or one of the best things that we can sow from generation to generation, is for a generation that comes after me to be able to look and see that I never ever gave up. I kept on marching. Some of us had the privilege of working here and working full time. And one of the things that always gives me energy is when Brother Phillips walks by my office and says, "Hey, Brother Worthy, still marching, still working, still giving of himself." With all the things that he's had to deal with and all the challenges he's had to deal with health-wise, he would have the right to say, "Listen, somebody else needs to do that." But as soon as his health comes good enough for him to keep on marching, in he marches again. I'm thankful for men like Brother Phillips and others in this congregation who are older. I think about Sister Bell right here on the front row, who has given us a beautiful example of strength under the duress of having to go through things that have challenged her health. But in the midst of all that, you've stayed strong. And I just feel like if I ever get older and something comes across my body that puts a challenge to it, I'm going to think about Sister Bell. I'm going to think about Brother Phillip. I'm going to keep on marching. Thank you. There's got to be a convincing thought, a conviction within all of us that says, I've always got something else left to offer the Lord's body. Not only those, we can look at Zacharias and Elizabeth. The Bible says over in Luke chapter 1 and verse number 7 through 9 that they were well advanced in years. But yet they were told that they were going to have a son. Paul described himself over in the 9th verse of Philemon. He described himself and he spoke of himself in the third person. He called himself Paul the Aged. He said, "Yeah, I'm old." But at the same time, Paul, during this time in his life, he was busy writing letters to Ephesus and Philippi and all the different places. Even while he was in prison, he was traveling, he was visiting, he was encouraging churches. When he was released from prison, these are the many examples of individuals who continue to bear fruit in their old age. You know, I say that as we talked about sowing, faith sowing generation to generation, and we talk about it from the standpoint many times of the older generation reaching down to the younger generation. I want to say to the young people, you need to reach up to this older generation. There's a lot of wisdom that you can find and reaching and listening to individuals who have gone on before you. Don't ever think you have all the answers. Don't ever think you've already got it solved. There are individuals who have gone through a body of experiences that you're not even aware of, and you can't even imagine. Some of the most richest experiences that I've had in this congregation have been through unexpected conversations with older people in this congregation, and to hear them talk about some of the things that they've done, some of the experiences that they've had, some of the trials that they have overcome. Oh, it's so encouraging. So it can't just be a situation of one generation, the older generation, reaching down to the younger generation. Young people, reach up. Look for opportunities to experience the wisdom of those that have come before you. When you think about this, God's use of older people in the church continues on to this day. When we look at the idea of elders, That was God's plan. To utilize men that have the ability, men who not only have the ability, but men that have the strength, men that have the fortitude to carry themselves in such a way that they can be a continued benefit to God's people. In Titus chapter 1, and looking at verse number 5, I know we've looked at this time and time again, but look at the qualifications of an elder. In Titus chapter 1 and verse number 5, he says, "For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, ordain elders in every city as I have appointed thee." Then it talks about, "If any man be blameless, husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless, the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word." Oh, when a man can go into old age and even from a young age possess these qualities, that man is going to be valuable. And I would submit this. This should not just be the goal and the characteristics of one that would serve in the official capacity of an elder. This should be the template for every man in the body of Christ. And it should be a template that I seek to take forward into my old age. There's a need for older men, but there's also a need for older women. Look what Titus says as well in Titus chapter 2, verse number 3 through verse number 5. He says, "The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober." You know, we live in a day and time in which the world is setting a narrative for womanhood that is totally inconsistent with what the scriptures have to say. It's a narrative that doesn't care about the idea of the preservation of marriage. It's a narrative that says that you don't have to give your all in all to your children. It's a narrative that says that you put your efforts and you put your thoughts and you put your priorities on yourself. Look what it says. Again in verse number 4, "that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband." Oh, that's a bad language to a lot of folk. "That the word of God be not blasphemed." This teaching, Paul is saying, this teaching is necessary so that the word of God, as people see the behavior of women who possess these characters, the name of God will be glorified. But when a narrative is accepted or embraced that has been put out by the world, the name of God can be blasphemed. There's always a need for older women. When you think about older individuals in the church, sometimes elderly individuals might not feel that they still have something left to offer, but you can always show hospitality. You can always even benevolence, maybe visiting and just seeking out and maybe just saying a kind word to someone or just giving a word of wisdom every now and then. Edification and evangelism can be done by those who are elderly. With many that have time on their hands, why not use it to study with others? How about send cards and send or make phone calls and And even in those times where you're not doing that, you could even just spend time in prayer and fasting. I heard of an invalid who spent her time praying for the sick and for those involved in teaching others. Even if I'm laying in bed, I can still serve. And so again, from the text, if we go back to Psalm, the 92nd chapter, again, he makes a statement. In verse number 14, they shall bring forth fruit in an old age. They shall be fat. They shall be fresh. They shall be relevant and flourishing. And then look at the last verse in verse number 15. The Bible says to show that the Lord is upright. To show that the Lord is upright. God is our rock. And there is no unrighteousness in God. And when men and women give their complete life for the cause of Christ, it causes people to see something that they otherwise may not see. It's one thing to teach an epistle, but it's another thing to live it for all your life. Then, look at what he says. He said, to show that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. See, we have a task to proclaim God's strength to the next generation. If you look in Psalm, the 71st Psalm, and look at verse number 17 and verse number 18, the Bible says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. And then look at what he says in verse number 18. He said, now also, when I am old and gray-headed, oh, I look in the mirror, I see all these gray hairs. Amen. When I'm old and gray-headed, oh God, forsake me not until I have shewed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone that is to come. It ought to be my goal to declare the goodness of God, the power of God, the providence of God, the faithfulness of God, every possible positive characteristic that exists in God's dealing with mankind, ought to seek to try to manifest it so that others can see it. And one of the ways that I can do it is staying with God for all of my life. And when I become old, it doesn't marginalize, it doesn't minimize my ability to do that. If anything, it gives me a greater stage. I was once young. Now I'm old. Never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed beg bread. You come to this point and you see a 30-year-old seem like they're squandering and seem like they want to give up. You could tell them, young man, stay in there. Went through it myself. You just stay with the Lord. He'll bring you through it. You see a young family, maybe a couple that going through some challenges. You could tell them, y'all stay together. Had some challenges in marriage as well, but we hung in there together. We stayed in there together. And I'm here to tell you that God can bring you through it. Not only do we proclaim God's strength to the next generation, but we recount God's mighty works to the next generation. I just want to share this one, and then the lesson will be yours. In Psalm, the 78th chapter, and look at verse number 1. The Bible says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. Can you see the generation after generation after generation? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, but whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Sowing generation to generation, one of the best ways and one of the most powerful ways that we can do it is with our lives. And in our lives, we can continue to bear fruit in old age. We ought to have the attitude that Paul, as he called himself the aged, had. When he said over Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 12, he said, not as though I'd already attained, already become perfect, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He said, brethren, I do not count myself as to have apprehended. And you know, that's the point there. I don't ever arrive. I never come to a point where I've done everything that I need to do. I'm challenged by Paul. This man who was once in the deep, in the sea, this man who was once beaten, this one man who was once found naked, this one man who was once stoned, this man who went through all these different trials and all these different calamities as a faithful servant of God. But this man, as he looked back on his life, he said, I do not count myself as to have apprehended. In other words, I have not yet arrived. If Paul, in doing all the things that he did, even into old age, could look back on his life in a pure and humble evaluation and say, I have not yet apprehended, then surely I need to look at my life and say, I need to keep moving. He said, I don't count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let as many of us as are mature have this mind. And if anything, any of you think otherwise, God will reveal even this unto you. God bless us to have fruit that is born all the way up until the end. You know, one reason I need to keep bearing fruit all the way up until the end, God's going to stay with me to the end. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And so given the fact that I serve a God such as that, that he'll never leave me or forsake me, where am I going to go? What am I going to retire to?
Amen.
Say, there's no benefit plan that beats eternal life. And the people are cutting benefit plans short nowadays. Even after you've worked all these years and you've been guaranteed certain things, Amen. They can come together as a board and then vote on your benefits Amen. Package and change it, and you just have to work Amen. With it. But God's benefit plan, it's backed by a God who says, it's impossible for me to lie. Amen. And once I've stated something, I will do it. Amen. And so that needs to be the mindset of all of us. We ought to bear ageless fruit. Yes, sir. I hope you've gotten something from the lesson tonight. We're thankful for those things that God has blessed us with. Maybe there's someone here that is not a member of the Lord's church. God wants you to bear fruit. You know, it's one thing, if you're doing and living a good life, you can be good, but you have to have God involved in it. You need to be in Christ. There are a lot of good people. But, you know, I once saw G-O-O-D, and you cross out G-O-D, and you got zero. Y'all see that? A lot of people think, well, I could just live a good life. I can be kind to people. I could be one that's polite to people. I maybe, you know, give some donations every now and then. But G-O-O-D without G-O-D, it leaves you empty. You need to be good on God's parameters. Hear the word of God, believe the same, repent of your sins. Go down to the watery grave of baptism, arise to walk in the newness of life. You can't survive on your own goodness anyway. But you be added to the body of Christ, be subject to the blood of Christ, and from that point on, live a life that is pleasing and acceptable, and live that life all the way into the end of your life. And one day, God, unlike a lot of worldly institutions, he'll make good on his promise for you. He'll give you a crown of life that fadeth not away. If you're here this evening, you are a member of the Lord's body. Maybe you've not been living your life in accordance to the will of God. Maybe you've not been bearing fruit. Maybe you've stepped away. You know, you can step away and be right here. But it's very important for us to, it's time for us to be serious about our walk. To be sober about our walk. And not just go through the motions, but truly live a life that says, Father, in thankfulness to all that you've done for me, I want to be one that is fruitful now and fruitful for the rest of my life. You know, people worry about, well, when is the end of the world come? A lot of people talk about, well, you know, it's a lot of things happening right now. There's a lot of things that are going on in our world right now. I fear that this is the end. Don't worry about the end of this world. Worry about your end. If you take care of your own end, you don't have to worry about the end of this world.
Amen.
Prepare for your own end. If you need to make some changes in your life, we encourage you to do so. If anyone has a need, we ask you to come as we together stand and sing the song of encouragement.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.